This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
5 o'clock hour here, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert, and this is Rock Chalk Sports Talk. 1 hour left in the program. We'll do a little Big 12 whip-around action coming up about 20 minutes from right now, but it's my pleasure to welcome on from the Lawrence Journal World our good friend, Matt Tate. Matt, how are you, man?
I'm doing fabulous. How about yourself, Nick?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know you're officially on the basketball beat now, as you have been, but you spent some time around this program, the football program, and I'm sure you heard the news today that the 2008 Orange Bowl team is going to be inducted into the KU Athletics Hall of Fame, along with head coach Mark Mangino, Aqib Talib, and Anthony Collins going into the Ring of Honor. It's most of it seems like no-brainer type stuff, right?
For sure. I mean, yeah, this is the, you know, I get the symmetry and the beauty of the nice round number of the 10-year anniversary and all that, but I think it's probably a little bit long overdue, really. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was sort of poking around into writing a blog or something, at least trying to find out some information about what's going on. If you walk around Memorial Stadium, at least prior to this year or prior to the last couple months, there's no indication of Orange Bowl champions. There's no banner. There's no signage. There's no flag. There's no – I mean, if I were running the show, I would have that probably 36 or 37 times up there. It would be outside the visitors' locker room. It'd be inside the visitors' locker room. It'd be on the floor of certain places where you have to walk past it. It would line concession areas. It would be on the outside of the stadium. It would be on the inside of the stadium. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. There are some really good programs that are perennial powers that haven't won a BCS bowl game. So the fact that they're not celebrating that, I'd have it on the scoreboard somewhere permanently. I mean, it you know, I'm not saying they're doing it wrong or anything like that, because they've obviously been focusing a lot of their attention on maybe getting some momentum to renovate the stadium. So why do too much? You know, I could see that, well, we could do this, that, and the other, but we'd just end up tearing it down, so why do that? But I think they have missed the boat on that a little bit. I mean, if you go to some other schools, those things are prominent. And if you go into Allen Fieldhouse, they've got their Final Four banners up. You know, I mean, that's obviously the national championship banners are up too. So that's something that always kind of surprised me. And I think this is definitely a good step in the right direction toward not only celebrating that, but also celebrating a few of the guys that helped play a huge role in that and were just such a critical part.
What percentage of the reception do you think is going to be a warm one for Mark Mangino? I mean, is everybody in that stadium going to applaud this dude?
I think so. I know you can't ever say anything's a sure thing, but I would not be afraid to put 100% on my guess here. I think it should be an awesome thing. I mean, I think everyone there is going to remember at least most of the people there are going to remember those Orange Bowl days and the Todd Reesing era and all that stuff, and how much fun it was on Saturdays to go up there and watch them play and to go up there and cover that and to be a part of it and to be around town when they had it rolling, you know. So there's no doubt that people appreciate what he did, what he was able to do, and how much fun and joy it brought to their lives. So you know, he didn't leave. He didn't trash KU on the way out the door. He didn't badmouth anybody or anything. I mean, you know, you're talking about a day that's there to honor an accomplishment, and that's one of the highest accomplishments you can have in college football. So anybody that takes it as an opportunity to boo or do anything ridiculous like that, I think is completely missing the boat and probably shouldn't even be there. You know, I think this is a great opportunity to remember some good days. Beyond that, it's a great – I love the timing of it, because it's already exciting enough with opening day, the first game of the year, the buzz around that with the lights on and the warm weather and all that stuff of game one every year. That in itself is always so much fun. And then now you're going to combine that with this whole, you know, celebrating the past and the high mark of the whole program. You're talking about a really, really exciting afternoon and evening and a whole just amazing atmosphere.
I agree with everything you just said. I my biggest qualm, I guess, is what you brought up initially about it being long overdue. I'm okay with the round number for the honoring the Orange Bowl champion because we knew it was going to happen.
I think
and I don't even know the right way to phrase this, but the fact that this is really the first time that you're acknowledging Mark Mangino since that Orange Bowl season, that's the part I have a little bit of a problem with, simply because that it's almost as if he didn't exist, if you would have walked around KU anywhere. I mean, there hasn't really been anything to honor him, and now, on a day which is supposed to be dedicated to that team, he is assuredly going to be the story. The fact that Mark Mangino is back in Memorial Stadium at KU being honored, that's going to take away, I think, from everything else that's going on.
Yeah, you're right, and you know, as we've seen in the years and days since he left, boy, each year that passes, it almost adds a little bit of credit and credibility to what he was able to accomplish, because it's obviously not easy. And there were a lot of coaches that came before him that proved it was very difficult to do, to get any kind of success going here, to have any sustainable winning, and to pile those seasons on top of each other. And then obviously since he's left, what are they, like 14-70 or something since he left, you know, Tom Keegan, I think that was the number I saw. Tom Keegan got a hold of him today. If you haven't seen that, it's worth reading on our site, because Mangino talks about why he's coming back and what he thinks of the whole thing. And it's definitely worth reading. And I think that's the number I saw in there, 14-70. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just each year has been a reminder of what a great job this guy did. And obviously he had some down years too, as he built the thing. But some of the best years in Kansas history are directly, you know, tied to him and what he did and what he did to build the program and how he coached his players and got them to perform. And obviously those guys deserve, you know, the 100 guys on the roster or whatever deserve a lot of credit too. But he's the orchestrator of all that. So, he deserves a ton of love, ton of credit. And you're right, it will take away a little from that day, but instead of looking at it that way, I think I'm hoping anyway that it'll just add to it, and it'll just be another reason to be excited to be out there, and especially with this year, man. I mean, you know, does anybody think they're going to go 12-0? Does anyone think they're going to go to a bowl game? You know, probably not, but there might be some people out there. But either way, there's some excitement, there's some buzz, there's some good vibes around the program, and they're feeling good about this year and the promise and the hope for this year. So that's cool in itself. I mean, it should be the perfect kickoff to what could be a fun season.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Turner World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Who's next? Who do you think would be next in line to go into the Ring of Honor after Aqib Talib and Anthony Collins?
Well, I think they're missing the boat on not putting Todd Reesing in on
I agree.
On this round too. I mean, I'm a little surprised he's not up there already, to be honest with you. I would have had no issue with Todd Reesing going up before those two. And that's another thing that I've kind of thought as I covered this program for the last however many years, 6-7 years. You know, there were some very down, dark days, and attendance was, you know, like pulling teeth. Well, one surefire way to get some people to show up would have been to have a Todd Reesing day and to induct him into the Ring of Honor during one of those 1-11 or 0-12 seasons. And I know you don't just throw that together in a couple of weeks and do it on a whim, but gosh, he's been to a bunch of games. I mean, he's been around. So I think it would have been doable. And I think that maybe the criteria is more about being a first-team All-American like Talib and Collins, and they are certainly deserving of being up there. But there's no doubt in my mind that Todd Reesing deserves that too, because there would be no day without Todd Reesing.
Right.
I mean, they would not be celebrating the Orange Bowl without Todd Reesing, same as without Mark Mangino, you know. So they eased or loosened or whatever you want to call it, the criteria in Allen Fieldhouse a number of years back to get some more jerseys up into the rafters. I think they could easily do that here with Todd Reesing, who is, you know, arguably the most important player in the history of the program. And certainly the one guy who owns every significant passing record, and was the face of that program that had those glory days and that run. So if he's not next, something's wrong. But he should also, I think he should also be a part of this group, and maybe they're waiting. I kind of made a couple of calls today to try to find that out and see if they kicked around the idea of letting him in this time, or what their plans are, and maybe they're, I didn't get very far, but I hope to, in the next couple of days, you know, and maybe their plans are to give him his own day, and maybe it's, you know, they want it against Texas at home or something like that, you know, so that's cool, and maybe that'll end up being something that's totally worth the wait and all that kind of thing. But if you're going to celebrate the Orange Bowl and you're going to let Tlaib and Collins up there, you could easily let Todd Reesing up there the same day and just make it a whole party. I mean, yeah. I think people would really love that, because I know people are talking about it all day today. I mean, why not Reesing? What's going on there? I mean, you know, that's what got me calling around. I just think that it's a valid question, and he certainly belongs up there. So, you know, he'll go up at some point, no question about it. I would think Chris Harris will probably go up too. Yep. You know, he started on that Orange Bowl team. He was a four-year guy who did a lot here, played on some tough teams, but also played on that Orange Bowl team and played a big part. He's a Super Bowl champion. I mean, that always means something, I think, to programs when they can, you know, point up to their Ring of Honor or the rafters or whatever and say, yeah, that guy won at the highest level, you know, and he was here. So, maybe Chris Harris wasn't an All-American type of player, although I think he was a freshman All-American. So, you know, you throw in his pro career to what he did here, I think he's got a very strong case. And maybe Daryl Stuckey too. I don't know. That one might be a little tougher, but he's been a Pro Bowler in the NFL.
Yeah.
And had,
you
know,
four-time team captain.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. I mean, all the things that he meant to this program, you know, if you followed it at all, or you know anything about this place, you know, he probably deserves to be the first guy up there, honestly, just for his character and who he was as a teammate and a player and a leader and all those things. So I like both of those guys to go up along with Reesing. And yeah, I mean, you know, I love what they did at the Fieldhouse with putting more numbers up there and getting more names up there. It used to be crazy to only see a few numbers up there. When I was growing up, there were very few up there. And I understand that. I understand the, you know, the mystique and the prestige and how, what an honor it is to get up there. But can you imagine if some of those names that are up there now weren't up there? That would just be weird. So I was really glad they loosened up and let that happen. And I think they should do the same for football. And I think they should find any possible way they can to celebrate KU football as much as possible. Because right now they're still, you know, fighting that uphill battle when it comes to, you know, rooting on the current product and getting wins and things to feel good about there. So if it were me, I would have something every weekend, every home game designed to remind people how exciting things were and could be again and just get people fired up. I mean, I know that's a lot of work and a lot would go into that, but you got to do something. You know, while you're waiting for the team that's currently here to catch up, you've got to do something to engage and get people excited. And this is obviously a great start.
Well, I'm looking at what I believe to be the criteria, and there's like a primary criteria and there's a secondary criteria. And the primary one is either be National Player of the Year or be a first-team All-American selection. Collins and Tlaib fit that bill. And that's why I said earlier in the show, regardless of who is more prominent player, who is more important to the program, like if you do have that criteria and you only have two guys who fit it, I do think Collins and Tlaib deserve to have their day, right? Like they deserve
to have
their day and go in first because, hey, they met the criteria. Now, the secondary criteria is going to include a lot of guys. Set five significant career school records, professional athlete for at least 6 years in the NFL. Conference player of the year, two-time first-team all-conference player. Once you start getting to those criteria, I think that's when you bring in Reesing, you bring in Harris, you bring in Daryl Stuckey, you bring in Desmond Briscoe and Kerry Meyer, because those two guys are every significant receiving records. And yes, that's a lot of guys from one team, It's the best team in the history of the program. They deserve to have a lot of guys in there.
So yeah, I don't think anyone would argue with
no,
that.
No,
it's not like you're picking it from the 2006 team or something like that. It's the cream of the crop when it comes to achievements and accomplishments.
Right.
So,
And Bill Self could have put Brandon Rush in 5 years ago, but I think there's also a desire to space things out to be able to keep doing this stuff. So
yeah.
I think give it another 5 years, and you're going to see a lot more names in that Ring of Honor from that team.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I don't know how loose you can get, but give him 3-4 more years, and I'd love to see a guy like Ben Heaney up there. I mean, that's you know, if he lasts and he has the good fortune to staying healthy and all that, mm-hmm. he'll be a 6-year NFL guy by then. He was a force here. I mean, he led that team, you know, both in tackles and in heart, and just was the absolute, you know, toughness leader on a few bad teams, you know. So I mean, he's on the outside, right? I mean, his number and name and picture are on the outside of the stadium now. So they obviously feel good enough about him to put him up there. So I think he's one. Nick Reed would probably be another one. He was Big 12.
Yeah, Nick Reed. Yeah, definitely.
So there's another one, and that's a couple of guys not
Jordan
on that
Webb
2018. Well, you might be stretching a little bit now. But,
he's top 10, top 10 in program history in passing touchdowns in a season. And
that is true.
And in passing yards in a career. He's top 10 passing yards in a career. Tell me why Jordan Webb doesn't deserve to be enshrined in the Ring of Honor. I mean, one
Let's
good
do
reason.
That next week.
Okay.
Let's do that next
we'll save
week.
That combo
we'll
for next
spend
time.
A whole show on it.
I'll give you. I'm giving you a week to prepare your argument.
Okay, I like it. But, yeah, I mean, Dorrance Armstrong's another guy, right? I mean, that's you know, he's preseason player of the year right now, defensive in the Big 12. So give him a chance, and he might end up being up there. He already is on the outside of the stadium too. So, I think this program's been around so long, and you know, there have been some good moments. And I'm not just talking about the Gale Sayers, John Hadle moments, which were great. They were obviously well before me and well before you, but those are big time names in football history, not just Kansas, not just college, but football history. So, you know, there's been a lot of good things that have happened. There's been a lot more bad things that have happened, but there's been a lot of good and there have been some of those Nick Reed and Ben Heaney types that have been really, you know, nice silver linings on otherwise rough seasons and I think it's a shame if you overlook those and forget about those because, you know, it's almost tougher to do it in those circumstances. You know, it's easier to perform and to produce and to put up good stats and be flashy and be remembered when you're on a great team. But when you do it and you perform to that level on a team that maybe isn't going to be remembered for anything, you know, that says a lot about your individual character and who you are as a player and a person and all that stuff. So I just think the program would do great to just keep celebrating those things as much as possible as things continue to move forward and to progress under David Beatty. And the good news is, you know, knowing Beatty like I do, he's the kind of guy that would probably agree with that and will as time goes on and he continues to kind of put his roots in and get more comfortable here and watch things move in the right direction. He's going to want to do a lot of those things too. He's very proud of the history here and the recent history too and was here for some of it. So there's no doubt that guy's had some thoughts about, you know, honoring some of those guys and doing it right. So, you know, I mean, Chris Harris is a guy that he loves giving love to on Twitter and on Sundays when he's watching games and those types of things. And, you know, he wasn't around him a whole lot. So, you know, he gets it. And I think we'll start to see more and more of that as things continue to move forward.
He's Matt Tate. Check out all of his work in the Lawrence Journal World and at KUSports.com. Thanks for the time as always, man.
Good stuff. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. That is Matt Tate. I'm Nick Schwartz, and this is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.